Genesis 21, and ladies have our song tonight. We'll enjoy the song. 21st chapter Genesis there in your Bible tonight. Thank you.
The days are long, all filled with care. The burdens seem so hard to bear. No matter what my lot may be, I'll live for Him who died for me.
Genesis 21 on the subject of the patriarchs, and you have the handout there with your prayer list, so let's pray, and we will begin. Lord, we're glad to be in church. Help us tonight as we look at this chapter, these verses, and some truths from it, and I hope it will help us, challenge us in some ways, teach us, inform us in others, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. Bless our time now in your word. In Jesus' name I ask it, and amen. This sounds a little funny to me. I don't know if it does to y'all. It seems like it has a lot of tinny sound to it tonight. So if we can get that fixed, Brother Jack, that would be a help. Come to Genesis chapter 21. Look at verse number 1 with me. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. Notice that. As He had said. Whatever He says, He will do. That's a great phrase right there. The Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah again as He had spoken. You can count on it, friend. Always has happened, always will happen. Okay? He's going to do what He says. Sarah conceived, bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him when Sarah bare to him. Whom Sarah bare to him? Isaac. All right. So the promise of God comes to pass for Abraham and Sarah. A son is born to their union and he's named Isaac. Abraham's 100. And Sarah is 90, and yet the promise of God came to pass. Now you think about it. Think about how this couple must have felt to hold that little male child in their hands. Now, I just want to say a word here about the faith of this couple. We'll say more about it later on in just a few moments. The Bible, speaking about Abraham in Romans 4, says, who, talking about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. That's an incredible statement. Who against hope believed in hope. Now, number one on your sheet tonight, there were two impossibilities that created a fork in the road in this part of Abraham's life. Two impossibilities that created a fork in the road in this part of Abraham's life. So here he comes on prior to the birth of Isaac now. He's coming down the road of faith, and now he's going to have a fork in the road. Number two, there was the human impossibility of conceiving a child. The human impossibility of conceiving a child. Number three in your sheet, there was the divine impossibility of God not keeping His promise. And which road are you going to take? The human impossibility of conceiving a child, we'll say more about this later as well. The divine impossibility of God not keeping His promise. In the situation that Abraham and Sarah found themselves in, those two roads could not be walked together. Those are different roads. One's a human impossibility, one's a divine impossibility. So one had to be chosen over the other. And in pure yet simple faith, Abraham and Sarah chose the divine impossibility over the human impossibility. And that's always the right move. It's always the right choice. There has only been one miraculous conception in a woman's womb without the union of a man. That was the conception of the Lord Jesus. Isaac was not that child. You understand what I'm saying? So in faith, this couple chose the fork of trusting God to be God. They weighed it in the balance. You know, the human impossibility, are we going to go with this, that reproductively we're dead? Are we going to go down the divine impossibility that God not keeping His promise? My goodness, we can't even comprehend that God would not keep His promise. So they chose God. They chose to go with God. I said number four on your sheet here. You and I will not face such an extreme situation as Abraham faced, but we will come to forks in the road that demand we choose the promises of God over human impossibilities or improbabilities. We will come to forks in the road, probably not as extreme as what Abraham and Sarah faced, that demand we choose the promises of God over human impossibilities or improbabilities. People, when you and I face that situation that humanly is impossible or maybe just improbable, may we always choose the promises of God. Always go with God, okay? In every case, may God help us to exercise faith in Him above all else, okay? This is astounding. Who against hope believed in hope? I'll say more about this later. Now, verse number 9, go with me there in the chapter here. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So now Isaac is born, and this is at the time of his weaning, if you will. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. So the day came when Isaac was weaned, and Abraham threw a great feast for his son. That's in verse number 8. And on that day of the feast, Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. Now, we're not told exactly what happened, but in some way the older boy made light of or made fun of the younger. And it made Sarah mad. She got angry and she told Abraham to cast Hagar and the boy out of the camp. Number 5, Sarah would not stand for Ishmael to share in the inheritance with Isaac. She wanted him to have no part in that. Now, boy, you talk about, this whole mess was started because of her recommendation, her suggestion to Abraham. Now she don't want Ishmael there at all. Okay, but hang on. This was tough on Abraham. Over the last 14 years, look at verse number 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. So this was tough on him. Over the last 14 years, he had grown to deeply love Ishmael, and he grieved over Sarah's demand until God came to Abraham. Look at verse number 12. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God came to Abraham, made it clear that the boy and his mother had to go. And in telling them that they had to go, send them away, God promised Abraham that he would make of the boy a nation. Verse number 13. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Just because he's your son, Abraham, I'm going to make of him a nation. Now, there are two truths pictured in this, maybe more than that, but two that I want to talk to you about tonight. Pictured in this story of Abraham casting out Ishmael and Hagar. Number six on your sheet, truth number one. God's chosen people through whom he would work his covenant are the descendants of Isaac. God's chosen people through whom he would work his covenant are the descendants of Isaac. You know what's very interesting to me as I read this chapter over a couple times? It's very interesting that Ishmael's name is not mentioned once in this chapter. His name is not used. God refers to him as the son of the bondwoman. That's how God referred to him. God also reminds Abraham that Isaac is the son through whom Abraham's seed would descend, meaning he was the son through whom the covenant would pass. So folks, and I probably preach it to the choir here tonight, but for all you young people coming up in the years ahead, get this settled in your heart right now. Don't ever let it be tampered with or changed. The descendants of Abraham through Isaac are the chosen people of God. Now, I'm talking to the youth here tonight. No matter what this country does in the future, no matter what the culture does in the future, we got a Bible. We got God's Word. God's very, very direct in that send him away. Send him away. The descendants of Abraham through Ishmael are not the chosen people of God. They're just not. And number seven on your sheet here, they have Abraham as their father. But the covenant was not passed through Ishmael. Was not. And from this point on, God makes it very clear that the seed of Isaac are his chosen people. And by the way, I think another reason why God told Abraham to send Ishmael away is because of what we're going to look at in the next chapter of Abraham's life. Because in the next chapter, God is going to test Abraham's faith again. He's going to test Abraham's love and tell him to sacrifice his only son on the altar. And if there had been two sons in the camp, maybe Abraham would have had difficulty choosing which one to offer. But that son of Abraham became a picture of Jesus Christ. And the only son who could fill that qualification was Isaac. And so it was necessary that Ishmael be gone so there would be no confusion as to who was the son of promise. Now, I want you to look at number eight on your sheet here. The descendants of Ishmael are doing today what he did in this story. They are persecuting the descendants of Isaac. The descendants of Israel, Ishmael, are doing today what he did in this story. They are persecuting the descendants of Isaac. Have you been keeping up just even casually with the news this week? You heard about the Islamic Jihad leader that the nation of Israel killed with a direct targeted strike. They waited until he was away from all the human shields that they usually put around him. They put women and children around their leadership. They waited till he was alone with his wife, and they took him out. Now, friend, you know, the media will decry that, but listen, rockets fired into Israeli kibbutzes and cities, kites and balloons set on fire and launched so that the wind carries them and they land in Israeli fields, setting their crops on fire. Secret tunnels being dug so terrorists can go through the tunnels and attack families and kill them. That has happened over and over and over, and you never hear anything about it. Until Israel takes action, takes out an Islamic Jihad leader, for which we all ought to be grateful. And then, you know, oh yeah, and by the way, you know, yeah, they have been firing some rockets over there. Some. How about hundreds? Setting their fields on fire over and over and over again. Now, you cannot be deceived by the elite media. When push comes to shove, the descendants of Ishmael are the enemies of God's chosen people. It's in their book. It's in their book. So as much as you and I are dedicated to our Bible, they are dedicated to their book. But their book has no history like our Bible does. Has no credibility. But they're dedicated to it. And their book teaches the annihilation of the state of Israel. So you've got to get it in your mind. Look, I'm thankful for every effort to reach a Muslim with the gospel. But those who do not receive Jesus, when crunch time comes, they will be the Jewish people's enemies. It's what their book teaches. Okay? So get it down. I'm not saying hate a Muslim man or hate a Muslim woman. I'm glad for the people who have been called to take the gospel to them. But this story teaches plainly those who are indeed the chosen of God. They are the descendants of Isaac. That's the one through whom the covenant passed. Yes, you had two sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. And the Muslim people trace their lineage back to Abraham, like the children of Isaac do. But this is clear as it ever needs to be made in your mind and your heart. The nation of Israel, the people of Israel, are the chosen people of God. Well, that's not changing, okay? Now, so I just want to point that out. That's truth number one. Okay, number nine on your sheet, here's another truth taught in this passage by way of picture. And I know I just went over this on Sunday, but we're just going through the chapters here, so I'm going to deal with it again. Okay, same song, second verse. Number nine, salvation by grace through faith has always been the only means of salvation. I know I was on that Sunday, but I'm going to be on it because it's in the text and I'm not going to ignore it. All right? Salvation by grace through faith has always been the only means of salvation. Now, Paul uses this story in Genesis 21. He uses this story in the letter that he wrote to the churches of Galatia. By the way, that's about a 1950-year time period. So 1950 years prior, this story happens, and Paul writes about it 1950 years later to the churches in Galatia. And the reason he did that was to drive out the heresy who came from those who were attempting to defile the message of the gospel. Because everywhere Paul went, here came the Judaizers behind him, preaching free salvation to all who will believe, and yet you got to add to it works. You got to add to it the works of the law. So Paul would go in preaching free salvation to all who believe. The Judaizers would come in behind him. Number 10 on your sheet. They did not say reject Christ, but they said add to Christ. Folks, you can't add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the bottom line. All right? Can't add anything. So they didn't say reject Christ, but they said add to Christ. Okay? Now, Paul's words came from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moved Paul to use this story in the book of Galatians, 1950 years after it happened, as proof of what he was preaching. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll finish the night there real quick. Galatians chapter 4, so find that in your Bible, okay? Now look, I know this is tedious, and maybe it's not the kind of truth that you can take home tonight and practice tomorrow. But God's people need to know the Scripture. So bear with me, okay? If all this does, it helps you. I wrote it in there. Number 11. The prophet Hosea said that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And people, look, we cannot only dish out milk. Now, you don't ever lose your taste for milk. Y'all still like milk? I love milk. I like it cold. I like it cold enough that it hurts your teeth when you swallow it. You know what I'm talking about? Where it hurts your teeth. It's just so cold. I have one of those freezer mugs. And I pull that mug out and fill it up with milk and eat pizza and drink milk. That's a good combination. Amen. Better than what some of you guys used to drink with pizza. I'll tell you that much. Amen. Yes, sir. Good old glad. Don't ever lose your taste for milk, but we need to dish out a little meat. Okay? So this is tedious. I get it. Okay? Okay, what are we going to talk about here? But at least when you read the book of Galatians and you read chapter 4, you'll remember the story of Abraham and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael, and it'll all make sense to you. It's called grasping the Word of God. Man alive, there's nothing more wonderful in the life of a believer than getting the book, okay? So, in verse number 21, okay, look at what the Bible says here. Chapter 4, verse number 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. These are the people that came in after he preached free salvation. He preached salvation trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. Here came the Judaizers. No, you better add to that. Okay? So he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Talking about what's written in the Pentateuch. Back in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, so forth, he specifically references Genesis, for it is written. And I might add, 1950 years ago, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bond maid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Now, the bond woman is Hagar. The free woman is Sarah. You get that. The son born of the bond woman is Ishmael. The son born of the free woman is Isaac. Number 12, he uses the births of Ishmael and Isaac to contrast salvation by faith and works as opposed to faith alone. That's what the Judaizers were saying. Believe in Jesus if you want to. That's wonderful. He's a great man. Believe in Jesus, but add to that. Okay? You got to add to that in order to be saved. And so he's going to contrast salvation by faith and works as opposed to faith alone. Now listen, who was involved in Ishmael's birth? Abraham and Isaac. You know who was born? Who was involved in Isaac's Abraham and did I say Abraham and Sarah? Or Abraham and Hagar? I say Abraham and Isaac. My gracious! We strike that from the Facebook Live, if you would please. Who was involved in Ishmael's birth? There it is, Abraham and Hagar. Got it. Who was involved in Isaac's birth? Abraham. Sarah, and God. Abraham, Sarah, and God. Those births are not the same. Look, Ishmael's birth was after the flesh. Number 13, his birth was the result of the works of the flesh. Can I say this without taking anything away from the wonder of conceiving and birthing a child? There was nothing supernatural about it. Abraham and Hagar had a baby. That happens all the time. Right? Now, in a sense, it's supernatural, the whole conception and how it all happens. It's a creation of God, right? Sure. But you understand what I'm talking about in the sense of this man and this woman got together and a baby was conceived. Happens all the time. Number 14, Isaac's birth was by promise or by faith in the Word of God. Isaac's birth was by promise or by faith in the Word of God. Now, Romans 4 tells us that even though Abraham's body was dead reproductively, got all kinds of systems in our body, right? Circulatory system. Muscular system, skeletal system, got them all. Reproductive system. Reproductive system was dead. That's what Romans 4 tells us. D-E-A-D. Dead. Dead. I don't think we need a rocket science to figure that word out. Dead. Sarah's womb was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham's body was dead. Yet the Bible says that he staggered not at the promise of God. You're going to have a baby. We can't. You're going to have a baby. So, by faith, Abraham and Sarah took God at His word, and God miraculously gave them a child according to His promise. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Against hope, we're dead. Reproductively, we're dead. Beyond the years of childbirth, conception, what happened? We're dead. Who against hope believed in hope? Now listen carefully. But choose my words carefully and tread lightly. True faith is always verified by works. It is not work to believe. It is belief that works. That's James chapter 2. Now, number 15 on your sheet. There was some work involved on Abraham and Sarah's part in the birth of Isaac. Very important, the next statement. But it was not, if this works, we will believe. It was, we believe, and this work is the proof of our belief. I hope that's enough said. Is that enough said? You understand what came first? Who against hope believed in hope? Abraham, we're dead, God said. We can't, God said. Won't happen, God said. Okay. We believe, and this work is the proof of our belief. All right? Two different. This is two different. What happened with Abraham and Hagar happens all the time. What happened with Abraham and Sarah? I can think of one other instance recorded in the Word of God close to that. Can you think of it? Zacharias and Elizabeth. John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Who against hope believed in hope. Now you talk about a faith. You talk about a faith that's got to be admired, folks. Wow. Now look at verse number 24. Look what it says here. Which things, what things is he talking about? The births, the two births. Which things are an allegory, an illustration. Okay? That's what the word allegory is, an illustration. For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth the bondage, which is Hagar, and this Hagar is Mount Sinai and Arabia, answereth to Jerusalem. That's talking about the birth of Ishmael. That's talking about the conception and birth of Ishmael. Verses 24 and 25. Verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry. That's talking about the birth of Isaac. That's Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. 24 and 25. Is Ishmael and Hagar. 26 and 27 is Sarah and Isaac. Okay? These two births, these two things are an allegory. They are an illustration. Ishmael's birth represents salvation by works. Isaac's birth represents salvation by faith in God's Word. That works. Those are two different things, folks. They're not one and the same. Okay, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So 16 on your sheet. We are children of God by faith in the promise of God, just like Isaac. What is God's promise? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God. That's how we're saved, by trusting in God's promise. Just like Isaac was born by trusting in God's promise. Okay? Verse 29. But as then, notice this now, this is neat. But as then he that was born after the flesh, that's Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, that's Isaac, even so it is now. The child of works was mocking the child of faith. Even so it is now, still today, people ridicule salvation by faith alone as ludicrous. That's easy believism. There's more to salvation than accepting Christ. That's too easy. You have to do something. That's Ishmael mocking Isaac. Still happens. Still happens. Sometimes it's religious leaders. Like I talked about on Sunday, there's proponents of this lordship salvation. And are you folks that just, you know, want to believe in Christ and... But friend, that's what the Bible teaches. You do not make Jesus the Lord of your life to be saved. People, you trust Jesus as the Savior. That's what His name is. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. You trust Jesus to save you, and then you go on a life quest of making Him the Lord of your life. It's a daily endeavor. Never ends. As it was then, so it is today. You got people who make fun of this, but just trust Christ and be saved. Paul was facing that with the Judaizers. That spirit still exists in our world today. Okay, look at verse number 30. Verse number 30. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? There's a good question to ask people. What does the Bible say? Okay. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. We are children of... When Sarah saw the mocking, she said, Ishmael has to leave. Get him out of here. They cannot... Ishmael and Isaac cannot coexist together. Abraham was hurt, but God told him, said, Abraham, go through with this. So Abraham sent Ishmael away. The child of works could not coexist with the child of faith. The two systems, faith and works, cannot be mixed. They cannot be mixed. Send Ishmael away. Number 17, or I'll get to that in just a second, okay? Look at verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We're children of promise. We're children of faith in the promise of God. You cannot begin by faith and finish by works. You cannot have 99.9% faith and 0.1% works. You got to cast works out. Send works away. And when you send works away, what are you left with, folks? You're left with faith in what? The promise of God. That's what you're left with. The two can't walk together. People who are children of God by faith in the promises of God are pictured by Isaac. Those who are attempting to be saved by faith plus works are the children of Ishmael, symbolically, illustratively. Okay? That's what Paul is saying here in Galatians chapter 4. D.L. Moody was a preacher who believed in what the Bible teaches about salvation. He was approached by some man who believed in works for salvation. And you've probably heard this story. D.L. Moody said to that man, "There are your faith and my faith, what you believe and what I believe, is different by two letters. You spell your faith D-O. I spell my faith D-O-N-E. It's done. You trust in the finished work of Christ. That makes you symbolically a child of Isaac, not a child of Ishmael. God says the systems of faith and works cannot mix. Works has to go. And when works goes, what you're left with is faith. So number 17, the systems of faith and works for salvation cannot be mixed. They cannot exist together. And this is what Paul's facing in these churches in Galatia. And by the way, isn't it interesting? You talk about folks, you talk about the importance of this. Do you know that this book right here, Galatians, is the only one of Paul's letters that is written to a group of churches? Why didn't he write them individually? I'll tell you why. Because the Judaizers were spreading their heresy. It was catching on like wildfire. And the Holy Ghost sat Paul down and said, fire off this letter and send it to every church in the region of Galatia. And you know what's in chapter 1? If anybody comes preaching any other gospel, let them be damned to hell. Whoa! Do you get what you get? And you know, well, the Old Testament teaches salvation. No, it doesn't. It teaches the same salvation. The Galatians 14, cast out the bondwoman, cast out the boy, cast them out. You can't be in the same camp. God's adamant about it. There is no mixing. There is no 99.9 plus 0.1. None. And any of these issues that these Jewish Judaizers were propagating, you know. Well, trust Jesus, but keep the holy days. Trust Jesus, and then, you know, be circumcised. This is what they were teaching. Trust Jesus, and then add to it. No. 1950 years ago, God said, cast out the son of the bondwoman. Cast out the boy. That was a picture of faith and works. The law. Keeping the law. Cast him out. God's pretty direct about it, folks. I wouldn't tamper with His plan of salvation. He established it before the foundation of the world. So don't tamper with it. And don't let anybody tamper you with it. Your mind with it. Settle it once and for all. The Jewish people, the chosen people of God, are the descendants of Isaac. They came from Abraham through Isaac. Settle that. And settle that once and for all in your. Don't be swayed by a smooth-talking Bible teacher who's going to exegete words and try to focus in on one verse and one chapter and one in book of the Bible. Look at the whole thing, 1950 years apart. You know what the message was? Salvation is through faith in the promise of God. That's it. Plus nothing and minus nothing. All right, let's stand together. That's it for tonight. Got to go. Thanks for coming out tonight in the snow, if it is snowing, whatever's doing out there. I appreciate your being faithful. And you get it, you folks. I mean, just had to tread lightly with a mixed crowd with some of the terminology tonight, but you understand it. Father, bless the lesson. I butchered some of the words. I don't know what happened to my mind at one point, but I'm glad, Lord, that you helped me to catch that. And Lord, I pray whatever my tongue and words confuse, that your Spirit would smooth out in our minds and hearts. And Lord, there will always be the children of Ishmael. I'm not talking about necessarily the Muslim people. I'm talking about those who combine faith with works, faith and the law. There will always be that crowd trying to intimidate those of us who believe that it's simple faith in the promise of God. May we never be intimidated that your plan of salvation has always been the same through every age in the world to come to. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.